Sabbath School Today, Volume 9, Chapter 26, The Return of Our Lord Jesus. Why have 2,000 years of human suffering had to drag by since Christ the Savior of the world was born? Why the long delay of the Second Coming? The popular view taught through most of these 2,000 years is that when good people die they go straight to heaven, or at least to purgatory to be purified for heaven, the doctrine of natural immortality of the soul. But the Bible teaches that those who die sleep until the resurrection day, and the resurrection depends on the second coming of Christ, for he alone can raise the dead. And when Jesus returns, those who are not ready will not be able to endure the glory of his appearing. And therefore the time of Christ's second coming depends on his people getting ready, for he would not dare to come if they are not ready. Jesus likens his people getting ready to a farmer's crop growing up and maturing until it is ready for harvest. The growing up makes it possible for him to come the second time to reap the harvest, but the crop cannot become mature until the latter rain of the Holy Spirit's outpouring comes. The former rain fell at Pentecost at the beginning of the Christian dispensation, but the latter rain will close that dispensation. Therefore, nothing can be more important than for the church to seek the blessing of the latter rain. And where is the good news? The latter rain is the 1888 message of much more abounding grace, a clearer view of what the Savior of the world has done for us, a revelation of his love, a gape that constrains every honest-hearted soul to live unto him and not unto self, so that this truth can lighten the earth with glory. No fear of his coming. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Obviously, he doesn't want us to be afraid of his returning to our troubled earth. Anyone having no fear about his first coming need not be fearful regarding his second coming. For those who believe, it is easy to see how this is the most welcome, exciting good news. But will it be the same for everyone? When he went away, two angels assured his disciples, "This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Who was this same Jesus? He was a physical person, for after his resurrection he told his disciples, "Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." He will come as a real person in a literal, physical body and will interact with real people. "He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him." But this same Jesus is not one with a different character. If he was loving and compassionate when he was here, he must be the same when he comes again. But what about those who irrevocably reject him? His love and compassion must take a different form for them. It would not be love to perpetuate an existence which for them would only be endless misery. In a democracy, presidents or prime ministers are elected by the people's wishes. But at the present time, the vast majority of Earth's inhabitants either don't know about it, don't believe it, don't care about it, or really don't want Jesus to come back to earth. That being so, then why should he? Two compelling reasons make his personal return to this world necessary. A time of trouble will engulf the world. A new and unhappy development on earth will make his intervention necessary, a final, ominous scene in the last act of the cosmic drama of the ages. Those in rebellion against God will issue a terrible and evil decree causing as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, and that no one might buy or sell, save one that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. In fact, at that fearful time only a few left on earth will not be bent on self-destruction. Christ's second coming will literally be a rescue mission of world proportions. As a nation ousts a tyrannical and cruel usurper and welcomes back its true sovereign, so his loyal subjects will long for, and even plead for, his return. In the end, the only sane and reasonable people left on earth will joyously welcome Christ at his glorious return. The psalmist represents him as enthroned upon the praises of his people. He is the world's rightful ruler. He has been temporarily ousted by an overthrow engineered by an enemy, Satan, who subverted Adam and Eve in his rebellion. When Christ first appeared as the world's savior, Satan deceived his own people into rejecting and crucifying him. But far more than the Jews were involved, for the kings of the earth stood up, took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Therefore the rightful ruler of earth must return, take his rightful position and restore his peaceful and beneficent authority after the coup has run its course. The Lord speaks by his ancient prophet, "Take off the crown, nothing shall remain the same. Exalt the lowly, and abase the exalted. It shall be no longer, until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it, the crown, to him." Although he came the first time as a meek and lowly one, he comes the second time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Poly, Penno.